Also, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jude. As we go through the book of Jude, verse by verse, word by word, power by power, truth by truth. This morning, it is my hope and my desire and my prayer that you are not one of those who say, "Lord, Lord." And Jesus' response to you is, "I never knew you." Lord, Lord, his response would be, "I never knew you." Because there are few who find the way to the kingdom of God. Wide is the road and broad is the path that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way and difficult that leads to everlasting life. And I pray today that if you are one who hasn't solely surrendered your life to God, that today is the day of salvation for you. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, now as we look at Jude warns us about the apostasy, the falling away of the faith in the church that has happened in the past, that is happening right before our eyes today, and that we'll see a significant change in the future. The Holy Spirit this morning will give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We're in our third week in the book of Jude. I pray we get through it today, but we have no rush because we could read right through it. And when he speaks of going the way of Cain or going the way of Balaam or going the way of Korah, do you know what that means? Because we're going to learn it today if we get that far. The Holy Spirit wants us to be transformed and changed each and every day by the power of the Holy Spirit, to deny myself and to live for Christ. That when the Lord speaks, I hear his voice. When he says, "Come," I come. When he says, "Go," I would go. When he says, "Wait," I would wait. Because he is my Lord and Savior. He is my King of Kings. But he's also my friend. And when I say that word friend, maybe you've never had a true friend before. It's kind of like on Mother's Day or Father's Day. You had a bad experience with your earthly mother or your earthly father. And when I say Jesus calls us his friend, "Oh, I hate friends. I don't want any friends. If you only knew what they did to me." Yeah, he knows. And he proves, listen, his friendship and his love for you by dying for you, by suffering. Could you imagine creating mankind and the beauty in each one of us that God has created and the skills and desire in each one individually, billions of people throughout time, and then you come to them and they reject you and they beat you and they hang you on a cross? Well, that's what he did. But listen, he did that so that we could be with him forever. He proved his love for us by dying on the cross. He didn't just say, "Hey, I love you, hope you make it." Matter of fact, he says, "I love you and I know you're not going to make it, so I'm going to pay that penalty for you so that you would be with me forever." That's just amazing to me, right? Just amazing that God did that. I can't help but look at my brother Tony here. He just made that new tithe box for us. In case you forgot where the tithe box is, it's right there. It's beautiful. And Jesus was a carpenter. And what do carpenters do? Carpenters build things and they fix things. And God wants to come in our life and fix us and make us new. Make us, listen, into the image of him. No longer me, that selfish person that we were in our BC days, but now transformed by the power of God, that I would look like him and I would act like him. And when people would see me or see you, they would say, "He's been with the Lord." That peace would just emanate from you. Oh, if we could just capture that this morning, knowing how much God loves us and then realizing, listen, what's happening around us. We need to be wise so that we can help others around us. Those who are not that mature in the word, you may have been saved, you know, a couple years and you don't know that much about Scripture, or you may be saved 30 years and don't know that much about Scripture, because there's both sitting right in the pews before us. So as we learn the things of God, we begin to grow in our faith. We become strong for the Lord. We become victorious over that sinful nature by the power of the Holy Spirit. And each morning, God is with you. He's never left you. While you slept last night, the grace of God overwhelmed you with His presence and kept your heart beating and each breath that you take continuously going and protected you from all evil. And when you wake up in the morning, say, God is with me. And now you're heading out. Lord, what would you have me do today? Well, Jude, listen, was a half-brother of Jesus. And he doesn't walk around saying, hey, I'm Jesus' half-brother. No, he says, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I'm a slave to the King. I'm a servant of the Lord. He didn't find his earthly position as important as his eternal position. Same with you. These things that are happening today around us, good, bad, or indifferent, will all pass away. At some point in your life, as a young man or a woman, and you had a certain position in life, and you rose to the occasion, and you were great, and people said how great you were, and as you got older, that influence began to diminish. It passes away, right? The president once had all power, President Obama, and the day that he walked off the stage as a president, he's just a civilian like us. He has no power. He can say anything he wants. Nobody's going to do anything, right? At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. All things are going to pass away. But you and I, the believers, all who believe in Jesus Christ, we are children of the King. We will inherit the kingdom of God. We will live with Him forever. And while we're here, listen, we're just visiting. We're not here long. We're just visitors. We are ambassadors. We're to speak on behalf of the King. That's what ambassadors do. And we're to tell the world around us about the love of Christ and that He died for you so that you would not have to. As the Spirit moves in you this morning, I want you to understand when you ask why do bad things happen, we have the answers before us. Why is there evil in the world today? It started in the heavenly places. When Satan rebelled against God, a third of the angels followed him, and they were cast down. Where did they go? Here, in the spiritual realm, but here. And they began to manifest themselves among the fleshly people at a certain time, and some of them are bound right now. There'll be a time where they're released in the millennial period, 1,000 years. But when we say, why is there evil in the world? There was rebellion. There was free choice in the kingdom of God. And Satan said, I want to be like God. And those people, yeah, he's like God. And the angels followed him. And so that is where the evil forces come from. That's where it has originated. Those who did what? Rebelled against God. And we're still doing it today. Nothing's changed. So this is why there is evil in the world. This is why there's evil in the heavenly places. They manifest themselves sometimes in the flesh. But in the heavenly places. So now we know, listen, there's a battle that is happening right before us. These are not equal forces. God is in total control. He allows some things to happen. But there's a spiritual battle that is happening. And we're to be wise in the things of the Lord. So we have an understanding. Listen, there is demonic forces that are against God's people. They were against God Himself and the kingdom. Now they're against God's people here on earth. So what do? Do we go back and forth and worry and be concerned? No. God, do you see what's happening? He says, yes, I see it. I know. And I'm pouring my grace out right now. Because when we look back in the Old Testament, when mankind rebelled against God, God punished them. What happened? Well, it's the same God today as it was in the Old Testament. He's just not punishing people today for their sins. Oh, they'll be punished if they don't repent and turn to Him as their Savior. But today, we're living in a time of grace where God is calling all men unto Himself. The Gentiles are now being brought in because after the rapture, and we're going to get into Revelation as soon as we're done with this book. Bring your pens and paper. After the rapture, everything turns to the Jew. Back to the nation of Israel. So today is the day for salvation. Today we're living in a time of grace where God's not counting your sins against you today. And if you're a believer, he's never going to count your sins against you because he's paid that penalty. We're living in a time of grace and God's mercy. Everyone is living in a time of grace of God's mercy. The heathen says, there is no God. Look how wealthy I am. Look how great things are happening in my life. And the believer says, oh, thank God. Things are happening so great in my life because the Lord is with us and we're living in a time of grace. And so we have an understanding of why there's evil. It's rebellion against God. God has, because man then sinned against God here on earth, when man came, listened to Satan's sin, rebellion, man rebelled against God, and they were sentenced to death. The wages of sin is death. You ever tell a lie? If you say no, you're lying right now. Maybe even a little kid. Did you eat those cookies? No, and you got crumbs falling off your face, right? That's a sin that God has counted, right? You may have never thought, big deal. No, it's a big deal in God's kingdom. In a sovereign, holy God, that's a sin that was counted. Do you ever lie as an adult? You ever take something that's not yours? You ever want to take something? You ever covet something? Well, that's a sin. But it was inconsequential in your head. But God knows it. Now, when you go before your king, when God calls you in his presence, right, because all are going to stand in the presence of God, you're going to see him one of two ways. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Or depart from me to everlasting torment because you didn't believe in my son. And so when God sees you, he's going to roll out this long scroll of all your sins, and mine's going to go way out that door. It's going to just roll way out. And you're going to look on it and know what's on it? Nothing is on it because Jesus' blood has washed away my sins. The one who has not believed, his sins will be written there, and he's going to pay for all of them himself. This is Christianity 101. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe in him would have eternal life. Are we given that message? Are we speaking that truth? Are we heralding the truth of God and the grace of God in our lives? Jude is telling us there's an apostasy. There's a falling away from the faith. We need to arm ourselves. And we went through this. I won't go through it again. You can as you go home today. Ephesians 13. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God for this spiritual battle. Right? Not some. The whole armor. And I love what it says. And I'll just quote this one thing. In verse 16 of Ephesians 13, and above all, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not some of the fiery darts, but all of them. How? The shield of faith, your belief in Christ. Arm yourself with the whole armor of God. He explains it to you what it is in Ephesians 13. We're in a spiritual battle all the time. Every day, have the armor of God on. It's right there in Ephesians 13. And so, and it speaks about standing firm in the faith, contend for the faith. Well, we left off last week. I quoted Colossians 4. The same idea is repeated in 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God doesn't want you to have peace in your life. Do you understand that? I'm sorry, Satan doesn't want you to have peace in your life. Do you understand that? Sorry, God. I was just seeing if you were sleeping, and that was a lie. I'm sorry, that was a lie. I'm sorry. Satan doesn't want you to get along with your spouse. He doesn't want you to have peace in your home. He doesn't want you to trust in God. He doesn't want you to have peace. He wants you to worry and be concerned and upset and uptight. And just the opposite with God. It's peace and the Holy Spirit. That's every day. That's not just some days. It's not just because we came to church today. It's every day. And God wants to fill us with a spirit. And he says, to pick up your cross each day, die to yourself, and live for Christ. That's why we're here. That is why we are here. That is our purpose as children of God, to make disciples, other followers of Christ. How do we do that? We love on them as Christ has loved us. It's been said to preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. Think about that. Preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. Your life should be shining for Christ so much that people would see you and want to be with you and want to hang out with you. Why? There's that peace that emanates from you, that light and that salt that Christ has put in you, that they realize, hey, they're thirsting for what you have, that living water, right? They're thirsting. And so he speaks of standing firm in your faith. Why? Well, there's battles that happens. It means that we're not going to be, we're going to be attacked, that we must not be frightened because we're trusting in the Lord. I'm not winning the battles. God is winning the battles. I'm not fighting Satan. Jesus is fighting Satan. It's in Jesus' name, not mine. It's in his power. I'm his child, and I walk in the Holy Spirit. I walk in that light as he is in the light. And it says that I have fellowship with one another. I begin to get along with other people. You ever be around those people, they don't get along with anybody? They're not walking in the light, because it says that we would have fellowship with one another. Because here's what happens. I become more concerned about you than I am myself. I'm more concerned about what's happening in your life than I'm concerned about what's happening in my life. And how does that happen? I have that peace of Christ in me to know that God's going to take care of me. It's okay, but how about you? Right? Our whole mindset should be, how about you? Are you okay? How can I help you? What don't you know that I can tell you that God tells me? What part of Scripture can I encourage you in? Whose path can I lead you in that can help you? How about you? My desire is for you. Well, that's what Jesus was all about. We want to love what Jesus loved. What did Jesus love? He loved people. He loved people. It's been said, you know, church is great if it wasn't for the people. Really? We stand firm in our faith. In critical moments of conflict, spiritual conflict, we need to listen. We need to realize and recognize, and we're not going to finish the book today. We need to realize and recognize. Realize and recognize what we are up against when we're against it. You understand that? The quicker we realize where the attack is coming from and why, the faster we're going to overcome it. It's like having, you know, the flu for 2 weeks and then go to the doctor. Well, you might have pneumonia now. At this point, right? Take care of it right away. When you realize you're on your way to church and you're happy and everything in your house is going wrong, realize where that's coming from. And be prayed up in the Spirit that God would give you the peace to be able to overcome that. Same thing in the church. We have issues in the church. Why? Because there's people in the church. And we're all messed up and we all have our own issues and conditions, right? And we all need more of Jesus. We need to come to him more and more every day. He needs more and more of us that he can change us. But I need to realize right away where the attack is coming from. Remember, I have the armor of the Lord on, and I'm looking for the spiritual attacks. It may manifest itself by someone saying something not nice, right? The old you would want to fight, right? The new you would take that shield of faith and detract that dart, that fiery dart that was just thrown your way. That doesn't mean that that's the devil that did it, but he could be influencing that person to manipulate you. So we're in a spiritual battle. Take up the shield of faith, take up the helmet of salvation, take up the sword of God, which is the word. Taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All right, back to verse 3 in the book of Jude. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was for all, once for all, delivered to the saints. Here Jude tells us what we are contending for. We're contending for the faith, the belief in Christ, the scriptures that were given to us. Why are we contending for the faith? What's the big deal about this? Why does he detract from his initial letter? He says, I found it necessary to tell you something. So if Jude in writing this found it necessary, that means the Holy Spirit found it necessary for us to understand what he's telling us. Wouldn't you agree? And he answers that in verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for the condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the whole only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what makes them so dangerous. Listen, they are unnoticed. They're unnoticed. They have crept in. They're creeping in. They don't want their ungodly behavior to be seen. And here's what's happened. They've crept in unnoticed, and they begin to work and do great things in the church. Oh, we're going to make this person an elder. Oh, now he's an associate pastor. The creeping in unnoticed is ungodliness, right? He's dressed in sheep's clothing, but he's a wolf. And he's unnoticed. And now he's put in a position of leadership. And now he becomes a senior pastor because the pastor's retired. And then he becomes a bishop within the organization. And now he is telling the whole church what they should believe. That's happening right now. Ungodly people have crept into the church unnoticed, and they're now telling the doctrine of what the church is going to believe. This is why they've fallen away from the faith. Marry whoever you want. It doesn't matter. It's just love, right? And so these are the reasons why they happened. Now, you may have never thought of that before, but this is what... It happened long ago. It happened in the heavenly places. It happened long ago. We're going to talk about it. And it's happening now. So now we're educated. We have an understanding. How in the world could these mainline denominational churches that have been here founded by the blood of God and the blood of men now saying, oh, it really doesn't matter so much. The word is, you know, just the word. Can we really know the truth? These words are being said. And now they're telling the sheep what the sheep should believe in. These are the ungodly men that he's talking about. They have crept in. They have slipped in secretly as if by a side door. Spurgeon says, Satan knows right well that one devil in the church can do far more than 1,000 devils outside her bounds. Think about that. One in the church can do more damage than 1,000 outside. That's why we need to be attentive. And we're not, you know, sin sniffers. Oh, did you go to church yesterday? Like, we're not in everybody's business. But listen, if the Lord reveals or there's discernment about sin, we need to address that in the church. Hey, I hear that you're living together with your girlfriend and that you want to get married someday and you want to serve in the church, but if you're having that sexual union outside of marriage, that's sin. I mean, we need to address those things. And if you choose to continue along that path, then there's rebellion. Now, he's talking about the sexual union in these relationships. This is what they're talking about. And so these are things in the church. We can't let them creep in unnoticed. They need to be addressed. And listen, we need to know this, that those who are doing this, these men that have crept in unnoticed, they're going to be judged. They're going to have their day. Listen, nothing happens that God doesn't know about. That's why he says, wait a minute, I'll take care of this. You don't have to go out and be the avenger. Trust and wait upon me. I'll take care of this. We were just talking the other day about, you know, things that were happening around us. Be patient. The Lord will reveal it. And these things were revealed. We addressed it, and things happened. There was an obstacle that was causing dissension, and the Lord took care of that. We waited upon him. We didn't try to do it ourselves. So he tells you, listen, earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. That means in your life first, because we want to contend in everybody else's life first, right? We want to be in everybody else's business about their contending for the faith. He's speaking to us. Contend for the faith. Live your life in a world biblical view. What does that mean, a world biblical view? Everything in the world, you look through the Bible, the vision of everything you do and hear through the Bible's standards, right? Everything, where we go, what we do, what we say, how we live, all the things in the world through the biblical standard. Because it was the Gnosticists and those in that time were saying, well, you know, we can do anything we want in the flesh because the flesh is evil, right? And so it's okay to do all these things, but our spirituality needs to be pure. And it doesn't work that way. Because if the heart is pure, then the things that we will do will be pure, right? And so in our lives, we need to contend for the faith. And we need to live an intentional Christian life. Do you hear that? It just doesn't happen. We don't grow in our faith because we're waiting upon the Lord to help us grow in our faith. Matter of fact, Peter in 2 Peter 1 tells us to add to our faith, and he gives a whole list of things to add to our faith, building us strong and understanding the scriptures and learning and living the way of God. And if we have all these things in abundance, we will never stumble, he tells us. So there's an active relationship with God. That's why he says, walk with me, follow me, right? Believe in me. These are action words, things that we have to do in our life. And he tells us to contend for the faith, contend earnestly for the faith that was once given to you. Now, John Maxwell writes that our lives need to be lived with intention. With intention. I want to be a Christian. I want the world to know that God is real. So I need to intentionally execute that thought, right? How do I do that? In my actions, in my words. It's called intentional living when we need to learn to live intentionally for God, and that means earnestly, right? So there needs to be an effort. There's an effort in our walk with the Lord. Listen, you made it here, great. I hope you have your Bible, that's great. I hope you are a note taker because you're given so much information every Sunday morning that you could share with someone else. Now, I'm not putting a trip on you. Oh, you're sinning, you don't take notes. I have to take notes. I'll have 5 pages of notes when somebody talks because there's so much information that I can't download because, you know, the hard drive's not doing so good. So I have to write it down. I don't remember everything that I hear. But there may be things that I'm telling you right now that you could share with somebody because you wrote it down and you looked at it and say, wait a minute, this person comes into mind. We're students of the word, right? Jesus sat in the temple and what did he do? He taught. He taught. So we're learning the things of God so that we can share, so that we can live the things of God and share the things of God. You'll hear me at the end of the sermon today say, to act upon now what we learned. Apply it to your life. See, change anything in your life that would hinder your walk. And teach it to other people. Right? So intentional living. Love God and live for God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Intentionally do that. That's intentional living. I want to do that. Verse 5 in the book of Jude. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Here Jude reminds us of what happened in Numbers chapter 14. God delivered the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. They went out of Egypt without unintended delays, and they came right to the place of Kadesh Barnea on the threshold of the promised land. God brought them from slavery, bondage, right to the promised land. There was no hindrance until they began to reject, right? And then they walked around for 40 years. They came to the border of the promised land. Listen, and they sent 12 spies in to check it out. And these spies came back, and this is, again, in Numbers 14. If you're taking notes, then you can reflect back and read the text that we're talking about, Numbers 14. These spies come back, and they said, the land that flows with milk and honey. But they also said there that we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So they saw that the promised land was good, but they feared. What does that mean when you fear? That means you don't trust God. Because if God said to go, then we're to go, right? And as the people refused to trust God and go into the promised land of Canaan, they therefore, almost none of this adult generation who left Egypt entered into that promised land. They did not have the promise of God. Although they were called by God and had the blessings of God, they didn't reap the fruit of that in the end of their life. And think about what God did for the people of Israel in this situation. And then how they responded to him. They experienced God's miraculous deliverance at the Red Sea. Think about that. You think that would change everybody's life, right? Well, God is real, man. He splits the Red Sea right before them. They heard the voice of God at Mount Sinai. They received his daily care and provisions of manna in the wilderness, and yet they did not believe and never entered into the place of blessing and eternal rest that God had for them. Yusek said, the warning through Jude is clear. Through the book that we're learning is clear. The people of Israel they started out from Egypt well enough, then had many blessings from God along the way, but they did not endure to the end. And because they did not believe God's promises of his power and his protection, they didn't become eternally with the Lord. They forfeited their blessings that were awaiting them. And this example gives us two lessons. Number one, it assures us that certain men causing trouble will certainly be judged, even though they may have started out well in their walk with God. Jude says, now they were unbelievers, okay? And they led other people around them to not believe. Do you realize that? Your faith and your walk affects the people around you. If you're not trusting in the Lord and you're talking about all your problems and you're not turning to God for that, people are watching and listening. And then, hey, you know what? God's not working in their life. Well, maybe he's not going to work in my life either, right? Well, this is how it happens. Little leaven leavens the whole loaf. A little sin and untrust and belief and fear begins to cause everybody to fear. Jude says that certain men might have started out well, but so did the children of Israel. So he's using an example here. He's going to give us a couple of different examples of Old Testament people that didn't trust, didn't believe, who brought in untruths into their camps. But so did the children of Israel, and God afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Jesus says, many are going to come to him and say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. Second, it warns us that we also must follow Jesus to the end and never be among those who do not believe. The final test of our Christianity is endurance. Some start the race, but they never finish it. Church is not something that we just do. You know, I had someone that I had counseled many years ago who was having a problem with his marriage, and I asked him about the relationship with the Lord. And like, well, you know, we tried the church thing. That's what he said. We tried the church thing. You see, there are many people in the church today that are reaping the benefits of the Lord. Actually, in the world, right? Speaks of the wheat and tares growing together. The wheat, God's people, and the tares, sinful man. They're growing together. In the world, not in the church. So God's not plucking out all the bad people right now and leaving the good. No, we're all growing together. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. And so it's not just a thing that we do. In the church, it's the same thing. There's wheat and tares. There's people in here that are not going into the promised land. They have not given their life to the Lord. They don't trust in him. They may say the words out of emotions or maybe even fear, but their life has not been surrendered. And I don't know who you are. But he does. And it doesn't matter if I know who you are unless you're going to serve, but he knows who you are. And he wants you to come to his saving grace. He doesn't want you to pay eternally separation from him for your sins. He wants you to come into his eternal rest and realize that everything that you have is from God and he's blessing us all, but this curtain will close one day. Our life is just a blip. It's a little line between the time we're born and the time we die. We just have one shot at this. We're only here for a little while. We're just visitors and ambassadors. And we've been given a task and a plan in our life. And that is to shine because he's poured his light into us, right? And then our lives would have flavor and perseverance because we're salt. Salt creates thirst. People to look at our lives and thirst for the living water that flows through us. Is it flowing through you? And he's given us examples of the past. Because there's nothing new under the sun. Your situation, your problem, the things that you're going through, other people have done it too. It doesn't make it any worse in your life. It doesn't make it easier to know that someone's going through hardship. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying God knows and understands it's not unique, but he wants to be the one to help you through it. And he wants you to know that it's his hand who did it. And even if you run to the doctor and the medicine that is used heals you, cures you, or helps you, it's still his hand. God wants us to trust in him. And the promises that he says to you is that you will live with me for eternity if you believe in me. Those promises are true. And the promises also are true that you will burn in eternal hell if you don't. Both these promises are true. You choose today where you would go. Now, it's interesting in this text that we're talking about that God brought them through the promised land. Now, it's interesting that the people listened to the 10 spies instead of Joshua and Caleb, who were the ones that the Lord told Moses to appoint. The appointed people of God, the people didn't listen to. They listened to the 10 pessimists that said, oh, there's giants in the land. Oh, we're afraid. They didn't trust in God. How does that happen? I don't know. But I know sometimes that in the simplest things of life, I try to take over from God and try to handle it myself. Why? Perhaps I'm not even thinking that God can get me through it. You ever feel that way? And that's a lie from hell. Because God is with us, and God will get us through everything. He says all things will work out for the good. Those who are in Christ. Those who love the Lord. Those who are called according to his purposes. That's truth. And I want to live in that. So they had walked from bondage and death, and God all along the way, listen, provided for them day in and day out. How in the world did they not believe? I don't know. But it happens. How is it so often Christians go off the mark? They leave the church and say, how does it happen? I don't have an answer for that. And God is warning us, and Jude is warning us through the power of the Holy Spirit that these things are going to happen in and around us and among us. We need to be wise and be aware of that. They listened to these 10 spies. God then said to them, this is out of Numbers, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Is it possible that we can live a life of God blessing all around us, and then we walk right into hell because we never were children of the Lord? Is that possible? Absolutely. Because we're living in blessings of the Lord every day. Remember, God's not counting man's sins against them right now. We're living in a time of grace. So think back of all the things that God has done in your life. Each time we realize, oh wow, Lord, you were there. You protected, you provided. Now sometimes he does things that we don't know why he did it. We have no idea. Pastor Ron and I were just talking in the office. He says, you know, the other day we were going somewhere and my wife said, oh, I forgot my phone. And we turned around and went and got the phone. And he says, you know, God might have protected us from a horrific accident just because she forgot her phone. He orchestrated all these things that happened. Wow, I never thought about that. I broke my back in three places in 1998. And why it happened to this day, I don't know. But I trust in the Lord, and he may have saved me from tragedy even worse than that. I don't know. You see, I don't know the whole plan. I don't see everything. I see what he reveals to me. And sometimes I only see what I want to see, right? I want to see what God wants me to see. And that's my hope and desire for you. You see, sometimes we don't know the whole plan, but God's working things out. I was telling the story that when we went from a Saturday night service to a Sunday morning service, we had our services at the Pompano High School. And we were there for 3 months. And it was $840 per service to rent that place. So I put up 3 months of that money. Think about it, that's a lot of money. I put up 3 months of that so that we could be there for 3 months. And I said, all right, Lord, if you're in this, you got to provide because that's all I got. So the first service, we got like $950. I'm like, yeah, we can do this. We can pay the rent for this facility. Then after that, we brought in nothing. So it was like the last week we were there. And we didn't know where we were going. I had no idea. So my mom said, and this is the second time, she says, hey, what about the Methodist church? I said, they'll never let us in. That's a denominational church. And I said that, this is the second time I said that I was wrong. So she makes a phone call. The next thing we know is that they said, yeah, you guys can use our facilities. Here's what was happening that I didn't know, that I didn't see. While we were there, there was a Brazilian church meeting at the same time we're meeting. But they were building a facility somewhere. And the very weekend that we finished there, they moved out from here. So it was a seamless transformation from us going from Pompano High Sunday morning service to right here Sunday morning service. Who did that? God works out all things for the good. Oh, look at the tithes. We don't have any money. He worked that out for the good, right? Because if we would have continued making money, or I put up the money, I'll take care of this, which I didn't have. I'm not saying that at all. But I left room for the Lord to work. All right, Lord, if you're in this, you got to provide, right? Because if I had the ability to continue to pay that every month, how do I know the Lord's in it? I'm making it happen, right? I'm paying the bills. But the Lord didn't want us to stay there. So he shut the tithing down so that we could come here. God's doing amazing things in your life that you don't know, you don't see. He's orchestrating things now for your future that you have no idea. That's why we got to trust in him. My wife and I were just in Disney World 2 weeks ago when we did the underground tour. And I mentioned this last Sunday real quick. There's some new faces. Disney World's not actually, the tunnel's not underground. Disneyland is actually built 3 or 4 stories above ground level. So when you go take the elevator down, you're still actually at ground level. But it was interesting to see all the things there that you don't know because nobody pointed out to you. The way they have the castle, it makes it look so far away because it's built on a little incline. And there's all kinds of optical illusions that you see. So the castle looks so far away from the beginning, but when you get to the castle, you turn around, you look at the train station that you left, it looks so close. And these are optical illusions. And then down when you go into the tunnels, there's several floors in the tunnels, and there's all different ways to get to different ways in the parks, and all the things that happen in Disney World are orchestrated that you don't see. Everything that's happening in your life is orchestrated by the hand of God. You don't see it. That's why we need to trust in him. And so it's my prayer today, because this is as far as we're getting this morning, and it's enough. God's given us enough to chew on, right? It's my prayer today that you would draw closer to the Lord and not depend upon your blessings that you see, but depend upon God who gives you those blessings. Amen?